Darkness. It's 12 noon, and the sun refuses to shine. Darkness descends upon the earth like a suffocating fog. The Father of lights looks away as his Son, the light of the world, becomes the bearer of our sin. Jesus feels this darkness. He cries out as for the first time his fellowship with the Father is broken. He cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? He is alone in the darkness, doing what only he can do. And so after 3 agonizing hours in the darkness, Jesus again cries out, it is finished. And the light of the world dies. It's over. The light has gone out. Darkness is won. Those who love him place him in a dark tomb. Stone is rolled, it's sealed. No light can enter. Darkness. And the Bible tells us about darkness. It says it can be felt. It can be stifling. In the dark, our fears come alive and they become overwhelming. And our burdens crush us. In the dark, we stumble and go astray. In the dark, we hear and feel the ignorance and the error. It strengthens hate. It symbolizes the grave. It symbolizes the power of Satan. It symbolizes death itself. And this is the world now that Jesus has died. The disciples are scattered and afraid. Satan's power, it seems unstoppable. The grave, inevitable. And death, unbeatable. And so the world in darkness overflows with sin, ignorance, hatred. Hope has died. Darkness covers the world. Even the women who had followed Jesus had lost hope. They believed that the light was gone. They had gathered spices to go and to give Jesus a proper burial, because in their haste to bury him before the Sabbath, they were unable to do that. So now they go to prepare his body, and they go to the grave covered with the darkness of sorrow. But something had changed. It was no longer Friday. It was Sunday. Matthew 28 puts it this way. As the first day of the week began to dawn, Mark says, it is early, but the sun has risen. Light is coming, and though the darkness doesn't know it yet, it is finished. So the women arrive at the tomb, and we find their story in Luke 24. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, 2 men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the 3rd day arise? The women are carrying spices. They don't expect a resurrection. They expect a tomb. They expect death. They expect a grave. But that was Friday. Today is Sunday. And the stone is rolled away. And the angels, reflecting the light of God's glory, pronounce not only that he is alive, but everything went according to God's plan. Like a snake, death and the grave had wrapped their coils around Jesus. The darkness of death and the grave enveloped him. And we must remember, death in the grave had never truly been defeated. Oh, they had a temporary setback when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead and a few others. But all would eventually die. You see, death had only been postponed. And no one had ever escaped death in the grave. And so on Sunday, they bear hug Jesus in a vice grip. But on Sunday, Jesus shouts, Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, grave, where is your sting? And he shakes death and grave off like dust and walks as the risen, triumphant light of the world. Because he lives, death will no longer own us. Because the light lives, the grave will no longer strike fear in our hearts. They have been beaten. The light has come. The light has won. And because the light has risen from the dead, everything has changed. First of all, notice that because the light lives, we can be saved from darkness. John writes, I have come into this world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Darkness is no longer our fate. We can be saved from the darkness because of the light. In World War II, there was a British destroyer that was hit, and it went down from a torpedo strike. 116 men were in the dark night of the water. They were floating around. They couldn't be seen, even though there were rescue ships close by. But someone had thrown them an American life jacket. And there was one crucial difference. For in World War II, they started to put a little light on every life jacket. And so someone who had gotten this jacket turns on the light, and the men swim closer, and the rescue ships can see in the midst of the darkness. As the little light pushed back the darkness, these men were saved because of the light. So too for you and I. Because of the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can be saved because of his light. We are saved because his light frees us and rescue is sure. And because of that light, we don't have to fear the darkness. There was a little guy, he was asked by his mom to help cook dinner. About 5 years old, and little Johnny goes, oh, okay, Mama, I'll help you. And Mom says, I need you to go to the pantry. And what I want you to do is when you go to the pantry, I want you to get a can of tomato soup out. Oh, Mama, I don't want to go to the pantry. It's dark. I don't like the dark. I'm scared of the dark. Son, remember, Jesus is with you. Now go. And so he goes to the little pantry, gets to the door, and he turns to go. He stops and comes up with a great plan. He walks back and he opens the door just a little bit. And he goes, Jesus, if you're in there, can you hand me the tomato soup? Oh my goodness. We live like that little boy. We live in fear. But the light has come. The light is alive. The light is risen. And he will rescue us. And we no longer have to live in fear. Notice second with me, because the light lives, we can have life. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. There was a little girl and her father who were traveling. And unfortunately, one night the little girl was ill and died. This was crushing to her father because he had just lost her mother a short time before. And so it was a hard day when he walked with the minister into the graveyard. He stopped at the coffin. And he pulled a key out of his pocket. And he put the key in and he opened and unlocked the coffin and he opened it up. And he looked at his little girl one last time and said his goodbyes. And with tears, he closed the coffin. He locked it with the key and handed the key to the keeper of the cemetery. As they walked away, the minister stopped. He said, I would like to quote a verse to you. This is what Jesus said. I am the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. What do you mean about the keys? He asks. He said, you think that the caretaker of this place has the key to your daughter's coffin, and you're wrong. For you see, that key right now is on the belt of Jesus Christ. And someday Jesus is going to return. Some morning he will shine his light upon her and use that key to open her casket and take her to be with him forever and ever and let her experience life. And the light broke through the man's tears and he saw for the first time the glory of the resurrection. The light of Jesus brings life to all who believe. And because of his light and because of his life, we no longer have to fear death, but we can have life starting today. Notice thirdly with me, because the light lives, we can become the children of light. 1 Thessalonians starts it this way, for you are all children of the light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. Colossians says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Ephesians, for at one time you were darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Walk as children of the light. What does that mean? Well, if you're the children of the light, you have a new family. And you have access to your heavenly Father. There was a man, he took his son to the carnival, and he said, you can bring six friends with you. We're going to go on all the rides for your birthday. And so that's what they did. And so he would get stopped by a big roll of tickets, and so they're lining up, and he'd walk. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And they went to the next ride. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Went to the next ride. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And he went to another ride. And it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There was a new hand stuck out. Who are you? I'm Kevin. Okay, but who are you? I'm your son Jeff's new best friend. And he said all I had to do was tell you that and put my hand out and you'd give me a ticket. So what do you think the dad did? He gave him a ticket. You know why? Because when I come to the Heavenly Father through the Son, I always have access to the Father. And He loves to give His gifts. Notice also it says when we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I remember as a kid going to camp, and one of the fun things was the night hikes. And one night the camp said, only the counselor can have the flashlight. And so we all in our cabin gathered around our counselor and they shone that one flashlight out on the dirt and we followed the trail. But you know something I learned? I learned what it was like to walk in the light. Because as we walked in the light, we laughed and we told jokes and we shared stories. And as long as we were in the light, we had fellowship. And because the light lives, we can have fellowship with Him as we walk in the light. Notice fourthly with me, because the light lives, we have purpose and value. Look what it says in 1 Peter. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Look at our value. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. But I love this next part, a people for his own possession. God looks at you and says, if you're a child of the light and you walk in light, you're mine. And if you're his, I got some news for you. You're on his refrigerator. You know what I mean? Our refrigerator died. You know what the longest task was? Pulling all the pictures with the little magnets off the refrigerator. Why? Because our refrigerator is covered with little magnets holding up pictures of people we love. And friends, you're on God's refrigerator. God says, that's mine. That one's mine. That one's mine. I love them. But not only do we have that value, but we have a purpose. Notice it says we declare the excellencies of him. We declare his majesty. We get to serve. We have a purpose to tell others about the beauty and majesty and glory of God. It is our call to reflect his light. Because the light lives, we have hope for the world. Look at Isaiah. I love what Isaiah says. He has written this thousands of years before we live today. But notice how his words sum up the meaning of the resurrection. Arise, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. When he penned this prophecy, he describes the impact of the resurrection. It is a world covered in darkness, but because of the resurrection, our light has come. God's glory has risen upon us, and we now reflect his glory, which is the true and only hope of mankind. But believer, catch this promise. As we reflect his glory, as we become mirrors of his glory, the light of the risen sun draws everyone to him. So have you embraced the light? Have you embraced this risen Jesus Christ? It is our question for you today. You might say, well, how do I do that? Well, first, understand that we've all sinned. We've all broken God's perfect law. And we're separated. But God so loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not be separated from God forever, but have eternal life. What does believe mean? Well, believe simply means that we say what God says about us is true, and what he says about himself is true. We believe that we are sinners. We believe that God sent his Son to die on the cross, to be buried, and to rise again to cover the cost of our sins. It is to trust in Jesus Christ, in his work. It believes that he is your Lord, your King, your God. And if you've never done that, I'd encourage you, where you're sitting, you can just stop and say, God, I know I've done wrong. And I want to come to you. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. I believe he was buried. I believe he rose again. And today I confess you as my God and King. And if you do that, you can belong to him. Now, if you did or do that today, talk to one of us so we can help you grow in your faith. The light lives. And because the light lives, we remember that we do not put our hope in a creed, a doctrine, a religion. It is not in a formula or ritual, but our hope is in the risen light of the world, the person, our God, our King, Jesus Christ.